Yelton, we have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast.
Welcome
to Utopia.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. It is a post-game edition of the Utopia Football Podcast. Welcome in. I'm Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Great to be with you following a 23-20, a scintillating, at times exasperating, but ultimately invigorating 23-20 win over the Buffalo Bills. The Texans moved to 4-1 on the season. They are, as of right now, the 2 seed. In the AFC, despite all the chatter about they haven't played their best game yet, all these penalties in the previous 3 games, they kind of got that worked out for the most part in this game. Much cleaner game for the Texans from a penalty standpoint. But the biggest thing is they get the win. And to me, this is the signature win of the DeMeco Ryans era. I know people will argue the playoff game against the Bills, and I might argue that as well. But Clint Sterner kind of, I thought, convinced me of it in the postgame show. I thought for sure winning this game would be the signature regular season win for the Texans. But I thought Clint made a pretty good case that this is the best overall win, because last season was gravy. It's all gravy, baby. There were no expectations. This is a season where you're expected to line up against teams like the Bills and compete with them. And the Texans, for the most part, again, like a lot of games with the Texans where they get leads, there's certain junctures in the game that they can really put their foot on the throat with teams, and they fail to do it. I don't want to complain about that on this podcast today, though. We had a few callers towards the end of the postgame show tonight that kind of veered into "yeah, but" territory, which is where I've been with wins over the Jags and the Bears and the Colts this season. The Bills are not those teams. The Bills are thought to be one of the best teams in the AFC. Now, maybe it plays out over time that the Bills are an 8-9 or 9-8 football team, and that the Texans allowed them to hang around. But I don't think that's the case. I think Josh Allen is one of the best football players on the planet. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's an MVP candidate. And the Texans made Josh Allen look pedestrian in the passing game today. He was 9 of 30 for 131 yards. Didn't turn him over, but could have a couple of times. So this was a game where we'll get into winners and losers in just a second. But if you had told me coming into this game what the storyline was going to be with the team that won, it would be that the team that won is the potential challenger to the Chiefs in the AFC. And I think that will be a topic tomorrow. Are the Texans the challenger to the Chiefs? Are they the ones that can knock the Chiefs off the mantle based on the fact that their defense played so well? But I also thought that the quarterback who won this game would come out of this game with a lot of MVP buzz. And maybe CJ does. Ultimately, CJ's stats were really, really good in this game. And when the Texans were humming, so was CJ. But the fourth quarter was a rough one for C.J. Stroud. We're going to get into all that. But I think the big story coming out of this game with this defense, the way they shut down Josh Allen, is are the Texans, are they a for real contender to take down the Chiefs in the AFC? That'll be the big topic tomorrow on all the national talk shows and things like that. And certainly that'll be a topic that we broach on Payne and Pendergast. The defense, you got to be really encouraged if you're a Texan fan with the defense over the last couple weeks. Maybe you look at some of the statistics and the run defense doesn't look great statistically. I think some of those stats are a little inflated by scrambles from Josh Allen. The running between the tackles, I think they were okay today. And the pass defense was obviously dynamite. So I just love the way the defense mostly opportunistically got the ball back for the Texans when they needed to again, just like they did last week. You know, the Texans punted 5 times in the second half of that Jacksonville game. Ultimately, the defense kept giving them chance after chance after chance, and eventually C.J. Stroud cashes in. Somewhat similarly this week, you know, C.J. struggled in the second half of this game, and especially in the final waning moments where C.J. had that horrible intentional grounding call that essentially turned a field goal attempt into a punt and gave the ball back to the Bills. That the defense was able to come up big. I don't know what the Bills were doing there, throwing the ball with the Texans having all 3 timeouts left. I don't know if the Bills expected to go from the shadow of their own goalposts and their own three-yard line and go get a game-winning field goal. I'm just not sure. So that's for Buffalo to hash out. That's for them to figure out on their post-game shows. we are on the winning postgame show and the postgame podcast. So let's get into it now. And I'll hammer through this quickly here. Obviously, you can tune in tomorrow, 6 a.m. Payne and Pendergast, to get more thoughts on the game, as well as all day long on Sports Radio 610. But we do it after each game, four winners, four losers. And ultimately, by the time we lay these out, you have an idea of kind of what the storylines were for this game. But I'll start with the four winners. Number four, Stephon Diggs. This was a big game for Diggs. He had six catches for over 80 yards. Once Nico Collins went out, Stephon Diggs became the primary target. The offense looked very different without Nico Collins in there, and we're going to talk about that a little later on in this podcast. But I thought Diggs made some big catches. Most importantly, I thought it was really cool that Diggs had a pretty solid day and made some chain-moving catches, made some Stephon Diggs-type plays. Had, of those six catches, at least two or three of them were ones where you go, wow, okay, there's only a few guys that make that play, that drag tacklers with him, or the catch where he had where he was sliding to the ground. It was just a really, really phenomenal play. I love that he had that kind of day on a day where clearly Josh Allen's weapons, to some degree, failed Josh Allen. Josh Allen had plenty of his own issues failing the Bills. He was, again, you're 9 of 30 for 131 yards. You've got a role in that when you're the quarterback. But it was really his receiving core. It's not a good receiving core. Mac Hollins and Keon Coleman had the one catch and run for a touchdown, but he doesn't get a lot of separation. There was one play that Josh Allen threw to Keon Coleman, and he was blocking, and the ball hit him in the head. And they were missing Khalil Shakir, who is probably their best wide receiver, but it's Curtis Samuel was a big zero, literally a big zero today. He had one catch for 0 yards. The tight ends did some things in this game, but not enough, obviously, when you only throw for 131 yards in the game. So I was happy for Diggs that he had the game that he did on a day where clearly Buffalo could have used a number one wide receiver who can beat man coverage like Stephon Diggs can. I was happy for Diggs about that. So he is winner number four. Winner number three, Kyme Fairbairn. And these are in no order of preference or anything like that. If we're doing that, Kyme's probably one, just based on not only today, but the entire season that he's had. They are not 4-1 right now without Kyme Fairbairn. I think it's safe to say at best they're probably 3-2, maybe 2-3. He's kicked 8 field goals of 50 yards or more through the first 5 games. That is absurd. And a few of them, like today, the 59-yarder to win the game, have been really long field goals. And a lot of teams wouldn't trot their kicker out there to give it a try. Now, maybe at the end of the game, at the buzzer, they would. Because if you miss it, you go to overtime, then whatever. You're not giving up field position at midfield. But we had Kyme on the postgame show, Clint Sterner and I did. He was excellent. Just talking about his process, does a lot of reading on the psychological part of sports, from what winners do psychologically. You know, he mentioned Tiger Woods and Tom Brady and guys like that. It was a really interesting conversation. And we should shout out to, as long as we're talking about Kyme and special teams, Robert Woods. He had a 30-plus yard punt return to set up the field goal at the end of the half. He had the punt return before the game-winning field goal. I thought it was a very underrated 10 or 11 yards that he got. Literally got the ball and just went straight up field. A less experienced player might have taken that wide and tried to get yards going out wide. Robert Woods, for one, probably knows that maybe speed is not the main thing he's all about, that getting north-south is probably the big thing. But the clock dictated you needed to get north-south right there too. Still left them with enough time to run a play. They had all three timeouts, the Texans did, so stopping the clock wasn't going to be an issue. The issue was going to be getting a play where you executed it in enough time to pick up just a little bit more for Kyme to make that field goal. And that might have been the difference. I don't, you know, who knows if he has to kick it from 64 or 65 yards if he makes that. But the little flip that CJ had to Dari Ogunbowale, Dari timed it perfectly, went to the ground, called timeout, 2 seconds left, Kyme comes in, boom, bangs it through. So as long as we're talking about special teams, I want to give a shout-out to Robert Woods on that punt return. Tommy Townsend pinning the Bills deep on the punt after C.J. Stroud's intentional grounding with a minute or so to go, that the Bills were having to operate out of the shadow of their own goalposts, I thought affected what types of plays they could call there. You know, they had to get it out quick. So kudos to Tommy Townsend on that front as well. It was just, they talk about complementary football all the time and offense complementing the defense and special teams complementing them both. I thought That was a great stretch of complimentary special teams football between Townsend's punt, defense gets off the field, they punt it to Robert Woods, who makes a play, and then Kaimi bangs a field goal through. On what was a, kind of an up and down day for special teams, I thought that was a really, really cool sequence that we saw punt, return, and kicking game, place kicking, all factor in. So thumbs up on that. Winner number two, Azeez Al-Shaair, wasn't even supposed to play in this game, but showed up on the injury report on Saturday with an illness. And so that was a concern. It's probably the least deep position on the Texans depth chart is linebacker right now, especially with Christian Harris still nursing whatever his injury is right now. So if there's no Azeez Al-Shaair, you're talking about linebacking. You're talking about Henry Toa probably having the green dot on his helmet for communicating with the sidelines and calling the formations. You're talking about Neville Hewitt, who's kind of a one-dimensional thumper, getting plays on first and second down, probably. Jamal Hill, the rookie out of Oregon, might have seen his first action. Depth at linebacker is a major issue right now. With no Azeez Al-Shaair, I don't think you win this football game today. He was all over the field, almost had a couple of picks, probably should have had a pick at the end of the first half. But he was awesome today. He embodies everything that DeMeco looks for in that whole swarm mentality. So Azeez Al-Shaair, winner number two. And then I'm going to say winner number one, first half C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud's numbers in the first half were eye-popping. 12 of 15 for 187 yards and a touchdown. He had a passer rating of over 140. Two of the incompletions were little throwaways at the end of the half that for some reason the Texans tried to get super cute with, trying to pick up a few more yards instead of just kicking the field goal. C.J. was dynamite in the first half of this football game. It is worth noting that once Nico Collins went out, it really, I thought, affected the way the Bills chose to defend the Texans. It certainly affected play calling, I think, with Bobby Slowick. Everything felt like it was being run around the line of scrimmage at that point with little jet sweeps and little screens and little quick hitches and things like that. A lot of running the football straight into a pile of bodies on first down. That's frustrating to watch. So C.J. was great in the first half of this game. Without the first half he had, they don't win this football game. So make no mistake, even though C.J. had a rough fourth quarter, which we'll get to in a second, they don't win this game without C.J. Stroud. He ultimately wound up with really good numbers for the day, 28 of 38 for over 330 yards and the touchdown to Nico Collins. So let's start there with losers. If half one Stroud is a winner, I would say Q4 Stroud was a loser in this game. I don't recall a game like this where C.J. gave the opposition so many opportunities to win this football game. I guess the closest thing would be like the Cincinnati game. He threw that pick that kind of kept the Bengals hanging around in that game when the Texans were up 10 and just had to grind the clock out. Next thing you know, the Bengals are tying the game up down 10 with 4 minutes to go, and the game's tied 3 minutes later. And a lot of that was C.J. throwing a pick. The Cardinals game the following week, C.J. threw three picks in that game, and that allowed the Cardinals to hang around. This one felt worse than those two because it was multiple mistakes all happening in the fourth quarter. Like the Cardinals' interceptions were spread out over the course of the game. This was C.J. like on consecutive possessions, throwing a pick. The Texans' 10th possession of the game, C.J. throws the pick. And then the very next possession, The Texans looked like they had a little something going. They ran Darius Gumbawale a couple times. They were kind of deep in their own territory. Darius gets a first down, and then kind of an underrated play that would have caught a lot more attention if the Texans were to have lost this game. But Darius Gumbawale on a first and 10 with about 4 minutes to go in the game, dropping an easy pass that all he had to do was catch it and turn around, and he's getting 10 or 15 yards, and the clock keeps moving. So instead of having a first down, you're out to about your own 30-ish and the clock running, it's second and 10 with the clock stopped with over 4 minutes left to play. The very next play, C.J. Stroud fumbles. So that was just an awful, awful sequence. And then on the very next possession, C.J. had the intentional grounding. So we're talking about three straight possessions in the fourth quarter where C.J. Stroud was doing things that were negatively affecting the Texans' ability to win the game. Gave away points with the interception. You're driving. You're at least going to get a field goal there to make it 23-17. Then the fumble. Kudos to the defense for holding the Bills to a field goal there and not giving up a touchdown. The fumble deep in your own territory. I mean, the Texans have had so many short fields that they've handed to teams through fumbles or interceptions or blocked punts. And yet here they still sit at 4-1. So it really is pretty commendable, I think. I know a lot of people are angry that the Texans haven't hit their ceiling or anything like that yet. The more this season goes on, the more I'm just choosing to look at it. Just keep winning games, because I think some of this stuff is going to fix itself over time. So, you had an interception, a fumble, and then an intentional grounding penalty that took you out of field goal range on three consecutive possessions. Kudos to the defense for picking up C.J. Stroud. Kudos to the special teams for picking up C.J. Stroud, because Lord knows C.J. Stroud has picked this organization up enough through his year plus with the team. But Q4 C.J. was a rough watch. I'm going to say loser in this game too, Josh Allen. This was a potential statement game for Josh Allen to recover from last week's loss to the Ravens, come here to Houston and beat a good Texans team. And 9 of 30 for 131. The Texans defense was beating him from pillar to post all day long. At one point he had to leave the game. They had to bring in Mitchell Trubisky for a snap after the Stroud fumble in the fourth quarter. So Josh Allen, I would have real questions if I were up in Buffalo about the constitution of their receiver room right now after these last two games. And was it the right move to trade Stephon Diggs? They're going to say there's no looking back, but they took a $30 million cap hit to trade him for a second round pick. And the last two games, they sure do look like they could use a dog, an alpha at wide receiver. So Josh Allen, I have you as loser number three in this. Loser number two, Nico Collins, soft tissue. Not Nico Collins, the man. Nico Collins, soft tissue. This hamstring injury makes me nervous. The Patriots are not a good football team, but they're not a bad defensive football team. And so I think, especially coming off the emotion of this win over Buffalo, now you head out on the road for the first time in a few weeks, and you're going taking on New England. I would guess, purely a guess, just based on it being a hamstring injury, that Nico Collins is going to be out for a period of time. The thing we need to hope for as Texan fans is that we don't see them put Nico on injured reserve. If Nico goes on injured reserve, that means his hamstring injury is far more severe than just a little tweak to it, because that means he would need to be out for at least 4 weeks, which leaves open the possibility this hamstring is more than 4 weeks, that it's severe. If they don't put him on injured reserve, then we've got a pretty good inkling that this is just a 1 or 2 or 3 week thing, which would be really good. That would be a huge win. I think they can beat New England without Nico. Let me put it this way. I think they can beat anybody without Nico. It just gets a lot harder to do it without Nico Collins. With Nico Collins, this offense is able to hit its ceiling, and they haven't been able to do that yet this year. They missed Tank for a couple games. They've been missing Joe Mixon since week one. Hopefully they get Joe back for the New England game. That would really help. But Nico Collins' hamstring injury is the big thing to keep an eye on this week with the Houston Texans. And final loser, number one, I just do this because I'm petty. Deshaun Watson was dog shit today up in Washington. He was awful. He was 15 of 28 for 125 yards. Dude is averaging 4.5 yards per pass attempt in a game today. They lost, by the way, by 3 touchdowns to Jaden Daniels, who is dynamite. Jaden Daniels is having a better rookie season 5 games in than C.J. Stroud was having last year. And that's saying something, because C.J. was pretty damn good through 5 games last year. I know the Texans were only 2-3, but C.J., you could tell C.J. was going to be an issue for teams through those first 5 games. So I'm going to put Deshaun in there as one of the losers, because I'm very petty and I like watching Deshaun Watson fail. Sue me. And who knows, maybe Deshaun will. Actually, no, Deshaun won't, but Deshaun may get sued. Deshaun's really good at getting sued. I don't know how good he is at suing people, so I'm not too worried about it. So those are your 4 winners and 4 losers. Hey, big shout out to you guys listening to the podcast. You know, France in the North, frequent emailer. Got to meet France in the North and his family, Mrs. in the North and the 3 in the North children. And shout out to his daughter, France. I'm going to forget how to pronounce your daughter's name. I think it's Mazika. I can't remember. I apologize. Please apologize to her for me that I forgot how to pronounce her name. She's got such a pretty name too, but she made me a Utopia bracelet. So I'm super psyched about that. Looks pretty good. Little friendship bracelet action. My wife tried to steal it from me because she liked it so much. No, ma'am. You are not stealing my friendship bracelet from the lovely daughter of France in the North. So that was cool, man. And cool to see everybody out there today. A lot of people stopping by the pregame show and saying hi, saying you love the podcast and you love the show and you love me and Seth. And I just like being loved, man. You know, that's pretty cool stuff. So, while it says four losers across the bottom of the screen, let's get that to subscribe, rate, and review. That's better. Okay. So thank you, everybody. And thank you, Fronts in the North's daughter, for my Utopia bracelet. You're the best. All right. A quick reminder, subscribe, rate, review the podcast. We appreciate when you do that. Subscribing is big. You don't have to worry about seeking it out or finding it. It comes, boom, right to your phone or your laptop or your iPad or wherever you listen. And a reminder too, houmailbag@gmail.com. houmailbag@gmail.com is the email address to send me emails for Tuesday. This should be a good one. Man, I'm getting more and more emails. Again, my PSA, try to keep them tight. If you send me an 8-paragraph email, I'll be honest with you, that takes up a lot of time to read those. So just try to keep it as tight as possible. If you want to be funny and things like that, that's cool. Just try to keep it tight and keep it short. Because I don't have with as many emails as we're getting now, because I want to try to get to as many as I can. With as many emails as we're getting, it's just really hard for me to go through all kinds of of long form reading. So that's all. But I appreciate all of you for sending in the emails. houmailbag@gmail.com. All right, we're done. I'm heading home. I got to go write my Houston Press article about today's monster win over the Buffalo Bills. 23-20, the final score. Big thanks to Anthony Irwin, my producer, for getting you guys this podcast on time. And we will see all of you later this week for a mailbag episode on Tuesday. Until then, have a great day. Go Texans. Big win.